That was Colossians 3, 5 through 10. Now listen to this. The Lord's still speaking in this lesson to me. If you accept any portion of the carnal nature, what does that mean? Unchanged, unregenerated. If you accept any portion of the carnal nature, you are giving vent to all of it. You remember a few years ago when I first told you that the Lord said that all of His glory is in all of His glory? You know, it's not a matter of saying I got a little bit of God. It's just to the level that we can express or understand. But all of His glory is in all of His glory. He's in all. So just so, any of Satan has all of Satan. Any of Satan has all of Satan. Any of Satan has all of Satan. Don't kid yourself. If you accept any portion of the carnal nature, you are giving vent to all of it. Remember when Jesus said to His disciples, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. He was talking about the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They thought He meant don't go buy their bread, but He was talking about their teachings. Be careful what you hear. Be careful what you hear, because whether you say, well, I'm in one ear and out the other. Nope. Nope. You may think so, but it's in there and you're going to do something with it. So I'm going to give you, this is a side thing. You don't have to pay anything for this. If you've recently been exposed to something and you thought, well, that was in one ear and out another, something negative or bad or sinful, address it in your spirit and say, God, don't let there be any residue of this in my life. I reject it. I reject it. I reject any residue. I reject any residue. I reject any residue. I'm not talking about being superstitious. I'm talking about using the Holy Spirit in our lives the way God gave us the Holy Spirit to be used, to go in there and take everything out. It wasn't in one ear and out the other, y'all. It's in there and you're doing something with it. You've got to reject it. Okay? One of you in particular needed that desperately. And you've thought, well, that didn't have any effect on me, but you got residue. You got to get rid of the residue. Look at James 3, 16 through 18. I may begin just reading portions of these. For wherever there is, I said, in any of Satan, there is all of Satan, okay? In any of carnality, there is all of carnality. Y'all understand that point? Whatever you allow, you think I'm just allowing this, and I know where to hold the line, but all of it is in that. It's just you're waiting for it now to bloom. All of the oak tree is in the acorn. All of the oak tree is in the acorn. All of the oak tree is in the acorn. It's just a matter of watching it grow. Do you want to wait till something is destroying your life to deal with it? No. For wherever there is jealousy, envy, and contention, rivalry, and selfish ambition, there will also be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. And the Lord, this morning when I was reading over this, instructed me to ask you, what are your also bees? In other words, what's in your life? Then there it says, for wherever there is jealousy, contention, there will also be confusion. What are you allowing in your life that there are also bees of which you are not aware? What are your also bees? You're allowing something, you don't see the harm in it, but what are the also bees that come with it? Sometimes we wonder what's going on in our lives. But it's an also be. It's an also be. It's an also be of something that we have allowed. But the wisdom from above. In other words, it's saying that way of thinking, that you can have some part of it, but not all part of it, is ridiculous. That's not the wisdom of God. But the wisdom from above is pure, undefiled. It is peace-loving, courteous, considerate. It is willing to yield to reason, full of compassion, good works, wholehearted. Go on and on. Verse 18. Now listen to this. And the harvest of righteousness, of conformity to God's will in thought and deed, is the fruit of the seed sown in peace. I'm going to explain this to you in a moment. Sown in peace by those who work for and make peace in themselves and in others, that peace which means concord, agreement, and harmony between individuals with undisturbedness in a peaceful mind, free from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts. The word is the seed. Righteousness is not the seed. When the word is sown into me, obedience to the word then becomes righteousness. That's the seed. And then it becomes sown. It's sown in an attitude of peace before God. I have, you know, a lot of people use this to talk about getting folks not to argue, getting them to get along. That's good too, but that's not what it's referencing. It's talking about God peace. And how many know if I have God peace and you have God peace, we're going to get along? We got to face it. If we're always quarreling with one another, one of us does not have God peace. If we have that peace, it says it's right with God. It is well with my soul. And then the word is planted in there because that peace is because of the seed that is planted. What will grow is righteousness. And you'll see the fruit of the Spirit. Say, she needs some water. Are you mad about the refrigerator yet? I know you're not. I hope you're not. I pray you're not. I beseech God that you're not. Hebrews 12, 15 through 17 in the Amplified says, exercise foresight and be on the watch to look after one another. Am I my brother's keeper? To a certain extent, yes, you are. To see that no one falls back from and fails to secure God's grace. Fall back from His unmerited favor and spiritual blessing. In order that no root. How many know Nathan recently ordered some stuff from different catalogs. And how many know some things just come as a root? And you think, what did they send me? This isn't what I wanted. Plant it. And see what happens. See, a lot of the things that we allow in our life are like that root. We say, what in the world is that person going on and on about? There's no harm here. Just continue to let it be planted in your spirit and see what comes out of it. So it's using here the example of the root of bitterness. In order that no root of bitterness, rancor, bitterness, or hatred shoots forth and causes trouble and bitter torment, and the many become contaminated and defiled by it. I heard, and then I heard it confirmed, that one of the tortures they used to do to people was to lay them on a bed of bamboo, a type of bamboo that grows so viciously that it would grow right through their body. I know that's hard to think about, but think about what you're planting in your spirit, in just a little part of your spirit that's piercing through all of your spirit. That's far worse than torture. Because in torture, you're a victim. In this case, you're the perpetrator and the victim. Because you've allowed something through which Satan has worked to destroy you. That no one may become guilty of sexual vice or become a profane, godless, and sacrilegious person. This is the point here of this scripture. As Esau did, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you understand that later on, when he wanted to regain his title to his inheritance and the blessing, he was rejected, disqualified, set aside. For he could find no opportunity to repair by repentance what he had done. No chance to recall the choice he had made, although he sought for it carefully with bitter tears. A perfect example of letting a desire of the flesh. Esau, you know the story. I don't need to go into it except to say he was hungry. And he comes up on his brother that's making a pot of lentils. And he wants some, and his brother says, that's all right, give me your birthright. It says at that point, he despises it. What's my birthright going to mean to me if I die? Sometimes you feel like you're dying when you're trying to set aside the flesh. So you think, what's the use? I'm dying anyway. I might as well do what I want to do. Press through. Because when you don't press through, you're really dying. That feeling of dying is real. It's your flesh letting itself be made known. It's the desires don't go away quietly. That's why you got to have the Holy Spirit to help you. So that what do we often do? We say, we forfeit our destiny in God. We forfeit God's plan for us because we wanted this thing. We forfeit God's planned for us, because at that point in time, we think that we can't live without that. And that is a deception of the enemy. If you think there's anything in your life you can't live without other than Jesus Christ, that's a deception. If there's anything that you would forfeit what God has for you in order that you have it, you're deceived. If it's me, I'm deceived. And sometimes it doesn't come all so obvious. That's what deception means. Deception doesn't come, you know, those wide load trucks that have the person that goes along with the lights flashing wide load. Deception don't come like that in your life with lights flashing. You're going to be deceived. You're going to be deceived. You're going to be deceived. Now, if you were listening with the Holy Spirit, you would feel, watch out. But if you are operating according to your flesh senses, you ain't going to see it till it's up on you. All right, but he couldn't bring it back. It was set. His debt, his inheritance was gone. Ephesians 4:27 in the Amplified, the context was, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Get things right, because it says, leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. And as I've said to you before, the example the Lord showed of me is the old-fashioned example of the door-to-door salesperson, that all he had to do was put his foot in the door. It don't matter if you have the door closed on his foot. If you can't close the door, now he has entrance. Isn't that true? It doesn't even have to be something as big as a foot. Anything that keeps a door from being... When the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit by which you are sealed, grieve not the Holy Spirit by which you are sealed. When you let your flesh go in there and keep that seal from being, what does that mean? That you are recognizing obedience to God. Does that mean now if you go out and you do something today that you're lost and you're going to hell? No, but it means you need to walk in repentance. And that your heart is toward God. He knows your desire is for Him. Otherwise, there's that foot in the door. And now that thing has access to your whole house. Let's run quickly. This explains, this is what the Lord said to me, why victims often become perpetrators themselves. The deep hurt in the personal betrayal sets up a tendency toward, and I'll put it more simply than what he said to me here, a tendency toward sadness or meanness, grief or anger. Either of these emotions, not dealt with in a way that rid you of them, makes a door for the very evil that produced them. And the Lord said, as that hurt that came into your life, as it was digging a hole into your spirit, it was planting a seed. And if you don't deal with it, the seed will come up. You say, I would never do the thing that was done to me, but you'll do something else just as bad. If you haven't dealt with that thing, that hurt, that betrayal. What does betrayal mean? Something that came against you in a very deep way. A hurt, an experience, a disappointment, an abuse. So as that hole was dug into your spirit, a seed was laid with it. I hope that sounds serious to you, because it is. The Lord said, carnality is never working for the benefit of the individual, but rather is reproducing itself through whatever means is available. Its poison is administered unnoticed because the anesthetic is your own agenda. The fruit of the seed of the tree is in the fruit. What does that mean? The devil gets his agenda in you by you going after something you think you've got to have. You got to have that fruit. And as you eat it, you're also digesting the seed of the evil, and it grows within you. He says the anesthetic, you don't know how Satan is coming against you, because the anesthetic is your own agenda. What you want, what your hurt is, what your complex is, what you think ought to happen. Your plan is your anesthetic. You know that you can get a shot. I went a few weeks ago and had a tooth, part of it tore off so a crown could be put on it because it was broken. I laid there and that might as well have been dead to me. Why? Because he shot me up with something that made this feel like no more than if I was touching your skin. The anesthetic of your own agenda keeps you from knowing what Satan is doing to you. It keeps you from seeing when he comes into your spirit, because you're so deadened by what you want and what you need and what you think and what you see. How many have a witness on that? You know it's happened in your life. You were so going for that fruit, you didn't see the seed that was in it. I could go on about all that, but we got to move ahead now here. The fruit of the tree has the seed within it. You are so focused on your personal need for flesh satisfaction that you do not even notice what is being administered into your soul. What is your soul? Your personality, your emotions, the representation of yourself in this world, who you are as far as the way people know you. What is being administered into your soul along with your self-administered remedy? What does that mean? What you thought ought to happen? Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. Well, don't. Tell me what God would have you do. James 3, 13 through 18 in the New Living Translation. If you are wise and understand God's ways, live a life of steady goodness so that only good deeds will pour forth. From where is that pouring forth? Your neighbor? Out of your own spirit. The Bible says an evil man out of his evil treasure does evil things, or what's stored in his heart. A good man out of the good treasure, what's stored in his heart, will do good things. Where are these deeds pouring from? Out of your innermost being. Remember when he was talking about the Holy Spirit, he said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Out of your innermost being will also evil can flow from your innermost being. So that only good deeds will pour forth. And if you don't brag about the good you do, then you will be truly wise. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your hearts, don't brag about being wise. Y'all listening? That is the worst kind of a lie. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Here's what I want you to hear here. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and motivated by the devil. Motivated by the devil. Motivated by the devil. If you see that attitude that you have, or that resentment that you have, is motivated by the devil, I bet you it'll be easier for you to get rid of it than to think, well, this is righteous indignation. No. Righteous indignation is when you defend God's word, not when you defend yourself. Not when you defend yourself. You stand up for God's word. But when you're bitter at somebody because of what they did to you, you're just doing the work of the devil in yourself. It's understandable from a flesh standpoint. It's not a matter of making you feel worse once you've been abused. Well, now you're abusing the victim. No. I'm saying now the victim is abusing themselves. Because they're holding that seed that the devil put in them and they're letting it sprout. What are we going to do about that? We'll get in just a moment. But read all of that, James 3, 13 through 18 in the Amplified. We'll go down to 18. And those who are peacemakers... Peacemakers, peace with God makers, will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. They'll plant seeds of peace with God within themselves. They'll do works that are obedience to God, and then they'll reap a harvest of goodness. You don't like the harvest you're seeing? What did you plant it? And the Lord spoke something to me that he spoke when he was talking about the Antichrist. Listen to this. The means of control is in the remedy. In other words, what you've decided you need to do about where you are, what somebody else has done to you, are the problems in your life, the means of the devil's control. The means to the devil's control is in the very remedy that you found for yourself. You must reject all that is not of my spirit. You have no idea. Now, this is what I want you to listen to. I'm going to drink some water here because you're not going to want to hear this because this spirit is already loosed. You must reject all that is not of my spirit. You have no idea how insidious the spirit of deception is, works without you knowing. Starts at what seems to be a small level and then suddenly it's there. That's what insidious is. Working below the radar. You have no idea how insidious this spirit of deception is, and you have no idea the vast hunger it seeks to satisfy without satiation. 1 Peter 5:8 in the Amplified, be well balanced. And that doesn't mean that you do a little good and you do a little bad. It means that the Holy Spirit is like the gyroscope. It's like your inner ear that keeps balance of your body. It's talking about where you don't fall to one side or the other. It doesn't talk about a balanced life. Well, I'll go do a little this and a little that because I got to be balanced. It's talking about the Holy Spirit literally keeping you on your feet, keeping you from falling over, keeping you from stumbling. How many know if you have a problem with your inner ear, you can't walk across the room? How many know if you have a problem with your inner spirit, you can't walk without falling into what everybody else is doing? That's what it says when it says be well balanced. It says have the Holy Spirit in you that knows that when you start to go this way, the Holy Spirit brings you back. When you start to go this way, the Holy Spirit brings you back this way. It's the Holy Spirit working within you that brings so-called balance, what we call balance. Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times, for that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him, be firm in the faith. And it goes on, you can withstand him, but it has to be in the faith, by the word of God. Because he's looking for the weak one. What does a good one of these animals that goes and tries to catch things, what do? They look for the one that's fall behind the pack, the one that's weak, newborn babies, the one that's sick, and they devour them. They're opportunist. A good predator is a good opportunist. And the devil is an adequate predator. I don't even want to use the word good. So he looks for the opportunity. But there is something you can do about it. And also look at Habakkuk 2, 4 through 6. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves and their lives are crooked, but the righteous will live by their faith. Wealth is treacherous and the arrogant are never at rest. Listen to this. Is this the way your life is seen? They range far and wide. In other words, they travel far and wide with their mouths opened as wide as death, but they are never satisfied. In their greed, they have gathered up many nations and people, and there is a spirit its mouth is wide open, seeking that it may devour. And it is a spirit of deception, because once deception is in there, anything that the devil wants to do goes under the radar. And now you're being controlled and you don't even know it. It, the spirit of deception, given place in you, will produce this same insatiable desire. Does nothing satisfy you? Are you not contented? Deception is at work in your life because it can't be satisfied. You will destroy yourself as you seek to fill a hole that is only increased by your desperate, futile attempts to eradicate the void. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, how much sense would it make if you saw a big hole in your yard outside? This is simple, y'all. This is not difficult. You saw a big hole in your yard and you said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go dig out that hole. And you start digging out the hole. What are you doing? You are making it bigger. And that's what he says. Any of these, this deception that comes into your life and you're trying to make things right on your own, your agenda is making you do the work of the enemy. Now that hole gets bigger and bigger and there's more place. See, that's the Holy Spirit works in the opposite effect, that the more and more place he has in our life, the more he can be represented in our life, the more he can be shown forth in our life. And the more place the devil has, the wider the hole in our spirit, the hole in the soul in our spirit. He comes and he sets up housekeeping there, and we just keep digging. Somebody recently said, if you find yourself in a ditch, stop digging. But yet in our flesh, we find ourselves and nothing's working and we're ill content. And what do? We run to the world. We run to a carnal person. We run to this and that, and we're going to try to get rid of this in our life. It can only be healed and filled by the Spirit of God. Anything else only makes more opportunity for the devil in your life. Now listen what the Lord said to me. Say, I'm listening. He said, darkness is covering the earth. Time is short to be able to see the truth. Time is short to be able to see the truth. John 12, 35 through 36, Jesus replied, said, my light will shine out for you just a little while longer. Walk in it while you can, so you will not stumble when darkness falls. If you walk in the darkness, you cannot see where you are going. Believe in the light while there is still time. Then you will become children of the light. says, after saying these things, Jesus went away and was hidden from them. He was illustrating there in the flesh what was going to happen in the spirit. What does that mean? He says, you're with me now. I'm the light shining. And a lot of us have lived lives where we've let those that are around us that have light in this show us the way. Or we have a sort of a superficial relationship with the word. But gross darkness is coming upon the earth. And if you don't have the light coming from within you, you're not going to be able to see. You're going to stumble and fall. So while you have the ability to see and know, why you feel conviction, why you want to buck up at what I'm saying instead of just disregarding it as the railings of a person with a religious spirit, while you can still feel a little of your conscience pulling at you by way of the Holy Spirit, turn, turn. Time is short. Darkness is covering the earth. Time is short to be able to see the truth. I read to you John 12, 35 through 36. Look at 2 Corinthians 6. It says, do not be unequal, beginning with 14, just read part of this. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell with them, and among them I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I tell you why you've got to be so careful. I don't know about you. I'll talk about me. If you hang around folk long enough, I'm not talking about in a ministry capacity, and be honest with yourself when it's ministry capacity and you're enjoying just being around them. Come on. You'll begin to like the individuals. And then you'll want to believe that what they're doing is not wrong. That is the way you have been inoculated by what you've watched on TV and movies against things that once were obviously wrong, grossly wrong. Nobody questioned whether it was wrong, but you saw people doing these things that you liked. That you liked. What could be so wrong in somebody that you like? And when I'm telling you, you're not coming against that individual again. You've got to recognize the spirit that's in them. And if you like them, you're going to get too close to the spirit. As I've given this to you once before, but I want to remind this to you. Maybe two or three times I've said it. I was having this vision or dream where there was this individual that I was watching talking about why they were the way they were. And they were doing their hands like this. And in the dream or vision, I thought, well, I can see why they are the way they are. And just like a door would slam shut on your head, I heard the Spirit speak to me and say, don't be sympathetic. Now, you may think that doesn't sound very Christian. It's not talking about don't be sympathetic of that person's need for Jesus Christ. But don't be sympathetic to the point where you say, well, I can see how they are the way they are. So, and the extension of that is, well, that's all right. Let's leave them alone. Oh, let's turn them over to the devil. They're so likable. Let's turn them over. That doesn't make any sense, does it? But you will lose every bit of objectivity. You know, I've heard people say, well, I'm going to date this or that, but I'd never marry somebody that's not a Christian. You are crazy and you are already deceived. Because you're going to fall for one of these bad boys. You're going to fall for one of these bad boys. And then you're going to want to believe that nothing he does, how could it be wrong? If loving you, come on. You got too close. That's what it talks about being separate. I'm not talking about not ministering. The devil tries to shut down this message by saying, well, you got to be amongst folks to minister to them. If you're doing what they're doing, you are not ministering to them. Clear cut. You want to know if you're ministering to them? Are you doing what they're doing? You're not ministering to them. You are fooling yourself. Am I telling you something I don't live by? No. I watch very carefully to what I expose my spirit, including people. Because I know the power of deception. And when you say I can't be deceived, you already are. Now you can say with certainty, if I'm walking by the Spirit, I won't be deceived. That's the truth. Because it says, again, if you walk by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't be deceived. But if you say in and of yourself, well, I just would never, yeah, you would. You would. 1 Thessalonians 5. I don't need to write to you about how this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, talking about the end of time. For you know quite well that the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly. I'm nearly through. Like a thief in the night. When people are saying all is well, we're all getting along. Isn't it wonderful? We are the world. Yeah, you're a fallen world. All is well. Everything is peaceful and secure. Then disaster will fall upon them as suddenly as a woman's birth pains begin when her child is about to be born. And there will be no escape. But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters. And you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. In other words, he's coming like a thief to those that aren't looking for him, who aren't in the light. For you are all children of the light and the day. We don't belong to darkness and tonight. We don't belong to darkness and tonight. You can read the rest of that. For those who are not controlled by my spirit, this is what the Lord said to me. Listen to this. If I've ever known anything was by the Spirit, I shouldn't have to say this, but I will indulge you. I know this was by the Spirit. For those who are not controlled by my Spirit, there is no hope that they will escape the tentacles of the approaching evil. There is no hope that they will escape the tentacles of the approaching evil. Those that are not controlled by the Spirit. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 12 talks about the Antichrist. As for the work this man of rebellion in hell will do when he comes, it is already going on, but he himself will not come until the one who is holding him back steps out of the way. That could simply mean until the appointed time. It could mean other things. Then this wicked one will appear, whom the Lord Jesus will burn up with the breath of his mouth and destroy by his presence when he returns. This man of sin will come as Satan's tool, full of satanic power, and will trick everyone with strange demonstrations and will do great miracles. He will completely fool those who are on their way to hell. In other words, those that are not walking according to the truth, those that don't have the light in them, he will fool them because they have said no to the truth. They have refused to believe it and love it and let it save them. So God will allow them to believe lies with all their hearts, and all of them will be justly judged for believing falsehood, refusing the truth, and enjoying their sins. That's from the Living Bible. God allows it because the point comes where you've rejected truth, you've rejected the means of escape, so now it happens. Nothing happens without that God allows. He is all in all. That's what that means. He doesn't decide that you're going to be deceived. He allows it because that's the way you've walked. You refused light, and now you don't see it all. For those who are not controlled by my spirit, there is no hope that they will escape the tentacles of the approaching evil. He is coming. He is already at work. If you continue to operate by his power, he will come for what is his and of his spirit. Remember in John 14, 30, Jesus said, I will not talk with you much more, for the prince, the evil genius ruler of the world is coming, and he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him, and he has no power over me. So Jesus knew and said, of course Jesus knew all things, but Jesus confirmed and said that Satan is coming for what is his. But here's the good news. Just as I am coming, let me turn this page, just as I am coming for that which is of my spirit. See, the Holy Spirit in you, you don't have to wonder, well, when Jesus comes, I'm afraid about the rapture. Why would you be afraid? The Holy Spirit in you will teach you to fly, will take you where he is. That same Jesus Christ is going to crush with his breath this evil one. And he said this to me, I am warning you because many of you are weak and do not know what you are doing. There are those who know their plight is set. You have a choice. Take the way of escape while you still know that you need it. He gave me an amount of time to look for a significant incident And when that happens, I'll remember this message. I won't give that period of time to you, but it's short, that something's going to happen, and you are going to remember this message today. Now, if you take out of here fear in general, you haven't heard the message. If you take out of here the fact that you fear being away from God enough that you're going to walk according to what He has said, then that's the right kind of fear. Godly fear leads to repentance. It's not to inspire. You know, we go watch all these horror movies. I'm speaking to one of you right now. You don't like the end result of this message, and I'm going to tell you what the Holy Spirit just told me to tell you. He said, why do you watch all these horror movies to scare you, but you don't want to be scared by what you ought to be scared? He says, you go and watch all these horrible things, and you even talk about it, how much you enjoyed it, but now you want to be offended by a message where I'm warning you about something that you can escape. That's called deception, friend. So while there's light, let's let that light come into us. I'm going to dismiss you here in a moment, but for those of you that want to stay, I'm just going to lay hands on you as far as you surrendering, and I start with myself. Any place that you have allowed there to be any room for the devil to work, that you don't want it there. You need to do that while you still see that you need to. You need to do that while you still see that you need to. God cares about you and He cares about me. He hasn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. He sent His Son to die Himself, reaching into flesh to save us. But I could tell you another lesson today, but it would not make this not true. It is the truth. Father, I thank You that You've put Your word in our midst. Lord, we can't do this, but You can, and we are willing. Lord, we are willing that Your Holy Spirit will go through as a light, searchlight, through every area of our being, finding anything that is giving an opportunity for the devil in our lives. Lord, we not only want to have righteousness in us, we want it to grow so that we can help others, that we can be a light to others, that we can bring a great harvest into Your kingdom. Oh God, let it be so. And Lord, have mercy upon those who are weak. Have mercy upon those who are ignorant. Lord, let them see. It's in Jesus' name and authority and under His blood that we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.